तव कथामृतं तप्त जीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ते भूरिदा जनाः.
So the first question is that why is it so difficult for us to realize God or to progress in spiritual life? So it is difficult. It is the journey of many lives, but we have to start from where we are and slowly, slowly progress. And it is guaranteed every one of us is going to realize God, because we are all children of God. Each soul is potentially divine. If God created this world, He created me, and so I am also a child of God. If God is divine, I am also divine. Therefore, if I am divine, I can't be anything else other than divine. But at this moment, I am not able to really understand I am divine. I am under the delusion that I am a human being, I am a man or a woman, young or old, etc. And that is called ajnana or delusion. And through spiritual practices, we have to slowly first realize, I am not the body, I am not the mind, but I have a body, I have a mind. That is the first step. Second step is, I don't have even the body mind. I am a jivatma. I am divine, a child of God. Last step will be to claim that I am truly divine. At all times, I was never a human being. So, spiritual practices are indicated how we can transcend, evolve further from the concept I am the body to I have a body to there is no body mind, everything is divine. This is the answer to the first question. Second question, very beautiful question, very thoughtful question, very intricate question. So is goodness relative or is it absolute? The answer is satyam, shivam, sundaram. Truth, goodness, and beauty, they are absolutes. Absolute means there is a universal truth. It doesn't depend upon. Then what we call goodness is the manifestation of goodness, and that is relative. Like, you know, electricity is the one that gives us light among other things. But if it is manifesting through a 5-watt bulb, it gives dim light, bed light, bedroom light. If it is 200-watt bulb, it will give 200-watt light, much better. But if it is 5,000, 50,000, so accordingly, according to the limitation of the instrument through which electricity is flowing, the light becomes less or more. This is called relative goodness. What is the point in this? Point is, we have to become absolutely good. Absolute truth, absolute good, absolute beauty. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. So, spiritual journey is to become more good, more truthful, and more beautiful. And these three, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, are not and cannot be developed separately. If we grow in one, the other thing also grows automatically. So this is the right understanding we must develop, that truth, goodness, beauty are absolute, not relative. But when that absolute tries to manifest within each one of us, according to our physical, intellectual, moral, and spiritual development, we manifest it more and more. So the essence of this answer is that we are all embodiments of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, that is called divine, or is called Sat, Chit and Ananda in different words, and we are all manifesting in different degrees, and we realize that we have to claim our true nature in 100%, and that is called spiritual development, and that progresses only according to our spiritual practice. So there is nothing called my goodness or your goodness. It is only God's goodness alone, and that is the answer for the second question. The third question is, Sri Ramakrishna's story, a man wanted to see a king and he had to pass through 7 doors. This is an imagery analogy for the well-known 7 steps of spiritual progress according to Jnana Marga. 7 steps. So they are called Sapta Jnana Bhumi. Sapta means 7. Jnana means progress in the knowledge of God. Bhumi means a state of consciousness. In other words, 7 steps. And it always starts with the ground step and ultimately takes us to the 7th step. 7th step is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. 7th step is called God Realization. 7th step is also called Atma Jnana or Aham Brahmasmi or Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So what are the 7 steps? The first step is Shubhecha. Shubha Icha, a spiritual desire. Shubha means good. Icha means desire. Shubhecha means a good desire. Here good means only spiritual desire. Our spiritual journey starts with Shubhecha. Then it progresses into Atma Vichara. Who am I? Where from am I coming? Where am I going? And am I going in the right direction? If not, what is the right way? To think deeply about these things, first having heard from a teacher, qualified teacher, and make that truth our own. This is the second step. In Jnana Yoga, this is called Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. The third step is called Tanu Manasi, Asanga Bhavana, Nisanga. Develop detachment towards the body and mind. And body and mind represent the world. Therefore, when we develop detachment towards the world, that means we are developing detachment towards the body and mind. That means we slowly feel, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I have a body, I have a mind. That is the third stage. Fourth stage is to develop identity with Atman. There are a lot of obstructions. These obstructions are called vasanas, or strong habitual desires acquired through 84 lakh janam. These are called vasanas. Slowly, to develop or make these desires, worldly desires, less and spiritual desire more, that is the fourth step. It is called Vasanakshaya. Then we progress towards the fifth step, where the very thought of Atman, Bhagavan, Paramatma gives us tremendous joy. Mind you, we have not yet realized God, but even the very thought of realizing God becomes very, very joyful thought. This is called Asamsakti or Mukti Ananda. Then we progress towards the sixth step. In this step, the attachment towards worldly desires, meaning attachment to the body mind, become much, much less, and the attachment towards God or Atman, Brahman, becomes very strong. This is called Padartha Bhavana. Bhavana means deep thinking. and identification with that thought, and what is that identification object? Pada, pada artha. That means padartha. Padartha means object. Object means God, Brahman, Atman, Ishta Devata. This is called real padartha. Everything else is unreal padartha, asat bhavana, maya. So this is the sixth stage where the thought of God becomes absolutely fixed. This is also called dhyana, and it is called padartha bhavana. And if we still practice, then we reach a state, it is called turiyaga, turiya avastha. That means I identify myself only with God, with the Atma. So these are the seven doors, seven steps, seven stages of spiritual practice called Sapta Bhumi. Sapta means seven, Bhumi means center of consciousness. And you must have heard about chakras. Within each one of us, we have got seven chakras, starting from Mooladhara, Manipadma, Swadhisthana, Anahata, Vishuddha, Ajna, and Sahasrara. So these seven steps of the Jnana Marga are identified as the seven chakras of the Tantrika scriptures, Tantra scriptures. But the essence is exactly the same. It is seven-stepped progress towards God. Or in Sri Ramakrishna's words, seven doors. First door, second door, etc. Until we reach the seventh door, wherein God Himself is beheld with all His glory, and the person need not ask, are you God? Until he sees God, the doubt comes, are you God or are you not God? But when we are in the presence of light, presence of truth, presence of God, the question itself will disappear, because the truth is, when we step into God, there is no two, God and me. I become God, God becomes me. So this is the last step, and this is the answer to the third question. What are the seven doors? Sapta Bhumi. If you Google Sapta Jnana Bhumi or Sapta Bhumi, you will get the Sanskrit terms as well as their explanations. Now, we go to the Gospel of Ramakrishna. In our last class, we have discussed about what is whether God can be with form or without form. The answer is, God can be with form, God can be without form, God can be beyond form as well as formlessness. Next question is whether people should worship images, God in images. Sri Ramakrishna's answer is, God loves everybody, but he takes each one according to the capacity, and there are billions of people, most of us, we require an image, either a clay image or a metal image or a golden image, whatever it is, and our idea of ourselves is also an image. In this context, I remember a beautiful incident that happened in the life of Ramana Maharshi. There was a great soul called Ramana Maharshi, and he passed away in 1950. The place associated with him is Tiruvannamalai. Some of you must have heard, maybe all of you, I don't know. So one day, a devotee came and told him, Bhagavan, people should be told that they should not worship images, idol worship. Bhagavan smiled in a very sweet way, and he said, show me one man who is not worshipping an image. Then he gave a beautiful explanation. From early morning, as soon as a person gets up, ritually he offers himself bed tea, bed coffee. After that, he goes into the bathroom and snana, abhisheka, with various powders and lotions and creams, everything. Then he comes out and dresses himself. Himself means herself also. And then elaborate breakfast ritual. And after that, he does so many things. Then noon, lunch. Afternoon, tea. And night, dinner. Before going to bed, another peg, whatever it is. From morning till evening, what is the man doing? Murti puja. He had become himself the murti and he is worshipping himself. So, it is impossible to preach such people who think they are having body and mind not to worship God in image. Because if I think I am the image, God will be the image. If I think I am with form, God can be thought only with the idea of form. When I am capable of thinking, I am not the body, but I am the mind. I am an idea. Then God can be thought about as idea, as with formless. Then a time will come. I am not a form. I am not an idea. I am not the body mind. Then only a person is able to think that I am no other than God. So, simply being in one state, it is impossible to think of God in a higher state. Just like, you know, a third class student cannot understand Einstein's theory of relativity. Unless the person goes through all these stages and comes to the level of Einstein, and only Einstein can understand the theory of relativity, and people who have that mentality of Einstein, only they can understand. So the point is, Sri Ramakrishna is explaining, God had made all these arrangements to suit various requirements. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates this. A mother has four children. She prepares the same curry, but in different ways to suit the digestible capacity of each child. So, do not hate people, do not look down upon people who worship images or who take God's name or who think of God without form. All these are different stages, and as we grow and identify ourselves with a higher idea, our concept of God also grows and our worship also accordingly grows. Here, Swami Vivekananda used to say something very important. He often used to say, God grows as man grows. So sometimes people may misunderstand this statement. What Swami Vivekananda meant is, as man's idea about himself becomes larger and better, his idea about God also becomes larger and better. Not that God grows, it means his concept of God grows. Ramakrishna also gives a beautiful example. A man is sitting in a maida, means open space, but right in front of him, there is a huge screen, and in that screen, there is a small hole. So whenever he peeps out, he could see only as much as that hole allows him to see. As he goes on enlarging the hole, then he sees more and more of the what is on the other side of the curtain. And one day will come when he could completely tear out that curtain. Then he sees there is no difference between where I am standing and what was so far, so long outside the curtain. That curtain seems to divide the person, that place into two, this side and that side, and what divides it is the curtain. What is the symbolism? That God is infinite, but this ego comes and puts a barrier and it seemingly divides, not really. I am this person and the other is God. So, but as we reduce the, go on reducing, our egotism. So our concept of God also grows until when our egotism completely is destroyed. Then there is no I, there is no God. Whatever remains is that indescribable infinite. That was what Sri Ramakrishna told. Then he told a very wonderful thing, that you don't need to have a headache trying to preach others. It is wrong to worship God in images. God has created, and God knows what each child wants, and he knows exactly what is suitable, and he is the only teacher. Very beautiful teaching this one, that if I am able to teach the gospel better, it is not me, but through me, God is manifesting as much as I allow him to manifest. If I become more pure, then I understand God better, and my teaching also becomes better. So anybody teaching, that is only the real teacher, is only God. Sri Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful example. There is a big palatial house, and in the roof, all around the, in all the four directions of the roof, there are certain openings, and whenever rain falls upon the roof, the rainwater flows through those openings. And many times, those openings are decorated like a lion's mouth, like a tiger's mouth, like a child's mouth, like God's mouth, etc. And small children thinking, see, that water is flowing through the lion's mouth, tiger's mouth, a child's mouth, a saint's mouth, a man's mouth, not knowing that it is God who is coming in the form of the rain, and he is only flowing through the mouths of, these mouths are only instruments, and what comes out is rainwater, and that rainwater sustains all of us, the whole world, and that rainwater is nothing but God. And different identifications, this is a lion's mouth, this is a tiger's mouth, these are only relative figures, but the essence is only God. So God is the only teacher. And then Sri Ramakrishna asks, what about your wife? And M answers, she is a good person, but I am afraid she is ignorant, meaning academically she did not get much education. Degrees are not there. Sri Ramakrishna was a master of similes, like Kalidasa. Sri Ramakrishna was also not only a fun master, he was also a pun master. So he used to tell, a person who studied, read many books, and the name for book in Sanskrit is called Grantha. Grantha means a book. And often this person who reads becomes very egotistic. And that egotism becomes a bond. Although he had previously bondage, now that bondage becomes stronger. I am more learned than some people. So he used to say, Grantha or Granthi. Every Grantha becomes a Granthi. Similarly, when a person passes an examination, we call it, he passed BA, he passed MA. So he used that word pass, English word pass. Is it pass or is it pasha? Pasha means bondage. Pasha means a rope which binds us. So with each higher degree, our bondage increases. That means our egotism becomes longer. Sometimes you notice the visitor's cards, the name occupies small space, but the degrees go on and on and on and on in smaller and still smaller letters. So what is M understood, that to be knowledgeable is to be academically get more better education. That means more degrees. But what Sri Ramakrishna meant, only one thing, that is knowledge which frees us from all bondage. That means which makes us more and more and more happy and healthy until we are eternally, infinitely happy, which is called realization of God, having the darshana of Bhagavan or Atmajnana or Brahmajnana. This lesson M had learned. By this time, M went to argue. Sri Ramakrishna told that this argument is one of the greatest obstructions in spiritual life. Only an egotistic person goes on arguing about things of which he or she knows nothing. By this time, M realized how true were Sri Ramakrishna's words. Then he came to the crux of the matter. Gospel is a Veda, Upanishad. Upanishads only must and will and can teach us only three questions. I hope you recollect what I have spoken in our past classes. Any scripture must teach us three things: Hita, Purushartha, and Hita, Tattva, and Purushartha and Hita. Tattva means what is the truth, what is God, what is Atman, what is Brahma, does he exist? If he exists, then God realization can only be the only goal of life. So Tattva is God exists. How do you know? Because Ramakrishna says, I have realized God, I have seen God. Then what should be the goal of life? That only God realization. That means you must realize that I must realize that you are God, I am God, everything is God. Of course, this realization is possible only in a human life, not in any other birth. So that is the Purushartha, means goal of life. Then the last is Hita. So I know God exists. I want to see God, or I want to manifest my own nature as divine. But what is the way? Four yogas are there: Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. So this is the crux of every scripture, and this is the essence of including the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Gospel of Holy Mother Sharada Devi, and the 9 volumes of the complete works of Swami Vivekananda, in fact, every scripture. So M very humbly asks these things. Sir, yes sir, how sir may we fix our minds on God? This is a question, and M is only a representative of spiritual aspirant. I, you, every one of us must ask only this question to whenever we meet a sadhu or a spiritual person, etc. Sir, how may we fix our minds on God? Then Sri Ramakrishna comes out. If you study the first chapter of Sri Ramakrishna, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you will get all these things in the first chapter. This is what I call the 5 commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. First, there are 5 commandments of Sri Ramakrishna's are there. What is the? Let me first read a little bit of the introduction from the Gospel. On his second visit, M received the above 5 commandments from Sri Ramakrishna. M practiced these commandments to perfection all his life, and he taught them to the devotees who used to visit him practically every day. These 5 commandments are of supreme importance for those who wish to progress in spiritual life. All aspirants, especially the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, must remember and assess their spiritual progress in the light of these 5 commandments. If followed faithfully, these commandments are sure to lead to the highest realization, and to the extent the devotees are able to practice them, to that extent they will be progressing towards God. Of all spiritual practices, taking the name of God is the easiest. Sri Chaitanya was a prophet who preached the glory of God's name. Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna all have unequivocally emphasized the need for the repetition of the name of God. This is just by way of introduction. So now let me explain what are those five commandments. Sri Ramakrishna's five commandments, which at the end of after this today's class is over, I will send it to Anuja, and I hope she will direct it to all of you, post it to all of you, and please go through them, because I have written several years back a detailed explanation of these five commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. And do not mistake that the five commandments of only Sri Ramakrishna. It is the five commandments of God. So what are the five commandments? First, Sri Ramakrishna says, God realization is the only goal of life. For that, you take the name of God, you sing the name of God, you read books about God, name of God, etc. So in other words, first commandment, only goal of life is to realize God. Now the question comes, how to realize God? How to progress spiritually and know God intimately as my own self? So four commandments representing four yogas. So the second commandment or first commandment as sadhana is cultivate always holy company. This is the first commandment of spiritual practice. Second commandment, now and then go into solitude and pray intensely to God with tremendous yearning, and your prayer will be answered. God himself will take charge of you and he will guide you. This is the second commandment of sadhana. Third commandment is always practice discrimination, viveka. What is viveka? What is eternal? What is temporary? What is good? What is wrong? What is spirituality? What is worldliness? And what is the way to get out of all the problems of life, tapatraya, and ultimately remain eternally, infinitely happy? So this discrimination, what is this viveka? I have put it in a beautiful way. That is what we are going to discuss in our future classes also, but I will put it now in a simple way. Here is the third commandment of Sri Ramakrishna as a spiritual sadhana. Anything can happen to anybody at any time, at any place, in any way. I repeat, anything can happen to anybody at any time, at any place, in any way. Simple example. So every day people are dying. So perhaps some people are dying of this corona disease. Even few days before, they never knew that they are going to die. They think that if I am careful, I will be okay. But we get reports of every day, thousands of people dying all over the world because of this. Nobody is ever convinced that I am not going to be here after a few days. This is called accepting the fact of death and preparing for it, because it can come at any time, at any place, to anybody, in any way. Another example is, here is a person, very good person, and he is walking in the street. Suddenly a truck comes and hits him, and within few seconds he is gone. Or even better, he is not dead, he is severely injured, he is terribly paralyzed, he is not dying, but he is leading a vegetative life. Here is another person, very wicked person, he is giving trouble to everybody, and a truck comes and hits him. Within a second, he is dead. If we are discerning people, discriminative people, then we get this understanding. But what is this? This person is a good person and God put him in eternal pain, eternal suffering, lifelong he has to suffer. And here is a wicked person, he should be suffering, but he has gone. We do not know God's ways. We do not know what happens in future. We only judge things by our present experience. The point is, anything can happen to anybody, good or bad, at any time, at any place, in any way. It could be very beautiful way, very ugly way, very painless way, very painful way, in a terrible way, or a most wonderful manner. When we study the passing away of many people, we can find out all these variations. Only let us not be foolish to seek whether it is justified or not. Only God knows why is it justified or not justified. In the eyes of God, everything is justified. So this process, anything can happen to anyone, at any time, at any place, in any way, is called the process of viveka discrimination. And the last, M asks Ramakrishna, sir, how should we live in this world? Whether he was asking himself, how should I live in this world? And we all know the answer. Ramakrishna's beautiful way is telling, live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. Live like a nursemaid in somebody's house. So what is the symbolism of that? And first of all, let me come back. Cultivate satsanga is practice of bhakti yoga. And then go into solitude and pray deeply belongs to Raja Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. And always practice discrimination more belongs to Jnana Yoga. And live like a maid servant, that means do all your duties, but you know in your heart of hearts that this house doesn't belong to you and you are only a work person in this house. You have your own home and at the end of the day, you have to return back to your own home. Means karma yoga, doing everything to the best of our ability with complete alertness, intelligence, efficiency, and yet not being attached. Any second, we must just forget the whole thing and then run back to our home. All of us are coming from our home. All of us have our parents, our parent. And who is our parent? God. And where is our home? In God. And what is this world we are working in? Like another person's home, which doesn't belong to us. We have no relationship with this person or with this world. So we have to slowly cultivate this idea. And this is not a ideal, imaginative, philosophical idea. It is fact of life. We are born, we grow up in a particular family, we separate ourselves and our parents leave us and go away and we leave our parents and go away. We leave our children and go away. We don't know when each one of us are going to go away and we don't know where from we have come. We don't know where we are going after death and we do not seem to have the slightest memory of all the experiences we had in this life. This is a fact. Only Sri Ramakrishna is telling you, recognize this fact and live in such a way. Do everything. Love everybody as if they are your very own. But at the same time, you, in your heart of hearts, you know that I come from God, I belong to God, and I have been strayed away from God. And my duty in life is to go to God. These are the five essential commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. And these we have to practice to the best of our ability. So, what is the very first commandment? Keep holy company. God and his name are identified. Sri Ramakrishna, many times he said in the gospel, the first commandment is cultivate holy company. Satsanga, always satsanga. So, what is satsanga? Where do we get it? How to practice it? In slight detail, we will talk today. I am going to talk today. So, Sri Ramakrishna once said, God and his name are identical. So, we don't know what God is. We don't know where God is, excepting hearing he may be in Vaikuntha, Kailasa, etc. But truly, we have no idea. But here is a tremendous fact that God and his name, Bhagavan and Unka Naam, are identical. So, if we think of God, his name will come to our mind. If we think of his name, God will come to our mind. And if we can take the name, because we have not much knowledge about God, but we must have faith in God, and we have faith in God, we are repeating God's name. So this name and nama and namni, a name and the named, are exactly one and the same. You cannot separate them. So by repeating God's name, we are only really taking hold of God. Sri Ramakrishna had given a beautiful example there. There is a man in a village, and once he got hold of a big treasure, and he didn't want anybody else to know about it, he took this treasure and went at midnight to the local pond, and he buried that treasure keeping it in a box deep in the pond. But then it is not a mere pond, it is a tank, big tank. So he might forget. So what does he do? He tied a rope to that box and slowly brought it to the shore, that rope. And he marked a particular place and buried the rope on the shore at a particular spot which he remembered, like our master password. And then thereafter, whenever he wants to catch hold of the treasure, what does he do? He goes to that place, holds on to the rope, and holding to the rope, slowly the rope takes him to the treasure. This is the analogy. The rope is compared to the name, and the treasure at the end of the rope is none other than God. It is for explaining for ordinary people the relationship between God and God's name. Take God's name like a staircase, like a bridge, it takes one to God. But the truth is that really speaking, there is no difference between God's name and God. The name of God is glorified in every scripture practically. And one who repeats that name, what does he do? The name of God destroys, washes away all sins and impurities. Indeed, there are some devotees who claim, who maintain that the name of God is even greater than God himself. It's a beautiful song in Kannada, because most of you may not know this. Ninyako ninna hangyako, ninna nama undu iddare sako. I don't want you, I don't want anything belonging to you, but if I have your name, I am more than happy with that. So he goes on telling that when Draupadi was in distress, she did not think about God. She only cried out, Krishna, Krishna, and that Krishna was like the person tied at the end of that name, that rope called Krishna, and he had to come and save it. Similarly, Prahlada called Narayana, and he came. And Dhruva called Vasudeva, and he came. Mirabai called Gopala, and he came. So many examples this Purandar Dasa gives, that God's name is much, much greater than God himself. I don't want God. But of course, it is a eulogy, It means God and God's name are not really different, not that. But for us, it is easy to take God's name. Then I have to remind you, in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, there was one great lady. She was called Gopala's mother. She was later on called Gopala Irma. She was a widow, uneducated, and ugly looking also, I have to tell. And she was leading a life of child widow, but she had a great desire, naturally, like any other good woman, I want to be called a mother. So she took to a particular spiritual devotional bhava called Vatsalya Bhava. Vatsalya means parental mood. It has got two varieties. We can think of ourselves as children. I am a child of God. God is my mother and father. Or I can consider God as my child. I am the mother. Like Yashoda, like Kausalya, like Sri Ramakrishna playing with Ramlala. So this lady adopted that Vatsalya Bhava. I am the mother. You are my child. I call you Gopala. And she did not know anything, excepting she was initiated into Gopala mantra for 33 years. From morning till evening, most of her time was spent only in repeating God's name. And that is how, after 33 years, she had the vision of Gopala. And then she, by the time she was acquainted with Sri Ramakrishna, and curiously, the day she had the vision of Gopala was early morning, and she was living 3 miles away from Dakshineswar. And her house was completely locked. Early morning, she completed her japa. And when she was about to offer the result of her japa to her Gopala, Sri Ramakrishna suddenly appeared. She was shocked. How did Sri Ramakrishna enter into this room? And why is he here at this time? Then suddenly, he changed into her Ishta Devata Gopala. She caught hold of him and she played with him until morning came. This story is beautifully written in the Great Master, Sri Ramakrishna, the Great Master, by Swami Sharadananda, in two parts. The story of Gopala's mother, first part, and second part. I am only giving the bare details to illustrate that one can attain God through purely japa, of course done with nishtha and bhakti and shraddha. So, for 33 years she did. And she became perfect. And this is the belief of every devotee. If we take God's name, and such people are called bhaktas or devotees, that is one sure way to realize God. Then there are so many books written on the greatness of bhakti yoga, greatness of God's name. Very briefly, I'm going to tell about, there was one Rupa Goswami, a disciple of Chaitanya, and he wrote many books, but one of the best books is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there he says there are 64 forms of devotion. I do not need to go into all those details, but of these 64 forms, there are 5 main forms. One, it is keeping the company of devotees, singing the divine name, hearing the scriptures, staying in a holy place and serving the image, the deity with devotion. So, according to Vaishnava Sampradaya tradition, there are 3 tenets and Sri Ramakrishna had expounded them briefly on many occasions. These are called Name Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva and Jive Daya. Name Ruchi means the devotee must have tremendous joy in repeating the name of God. Name Ruchi. Just like a tasty food attracts us, so the name of God should attract us. Second, whenever we see sincere devotees of God, come across devotees, sadhus, saints, etc., we must try our level best to the possible extent to serve them. That is called Vaishnava Seva. And by their blessings, and when they are pleased, we will become go nearer to God. Then, What about other people? There are so many people, they are not devotees, they are worldly people. We should not look down upon them or hate them, but we should look upon them with compassion. Jive Daya. Daya is the attitude with which we deal with those people, speak with those people, and do some action and reaction with those people. Once Sri Ramakrishna, while expounding these three tenets of Vaishnavism, he approved wholeheartedly of the first two, Name Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva. When he came to the third one, simply he said, he went, entered into Samadhi state, after some time came out, and he said, you are a wretched creature, you are a bound creature, you have no power, who the hell are you to show compassion? No, 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 not compassion, but Shiva Jnane Jiva Seva. Looking upon the other person as another manifestation of your Ishta Devata, you render service to that person as much as you can. Swami Vivekananda heard it and said, today I heard the greatest spiritual truth, reconciling Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. If an opportunity comes to me, I am going to broadcast to the whole world. And that's what he did when he went to the Parliament of Religions. The point we are discussing is the first or second commandment in spiritual sadhana, that is satsanga, cultivate holy company. And of these, taking the name of God is one of the most important things. And when we are taking the name of God, then we should be very careful not to commit any sin, aparadha. Though according to devotional scriptures, there are 10 such sinful things we can commit. This is the most beautiful thing. In today's class, I will just mention it and slight brief explanation. So when we are taking God's name, we should not commit these 10 faults. What are these? First, disparaging genuine devotees. Never criticize any good devotee of God. If you do, your taking God's name will only take you to commit more sin. That means what? Revere every devotee of God, whoever it is, whether Hindu, Christian, Muslim, or Jew, or Buddhist, anybody. Second, regarding God as absolutely different from his names, forms, and qualities. Earlier we discussed name of God and God, similarly form of God and God, similarly qualities of God and God are not different. If you are taking the name, it is God only. If you are thinking of form of God, it is God only. If you are thinking any quality of God, you are thinking only God only. So if you think they are separate, then you are committing a sin. Third, showing disrespect for one's guru. Never show disrespect. Even if he scolds you, even if he slaps you, even if he mistreats you. Once you have accepted your guru, he is Brahmananda. He is Paramananda. He is Parameshwara, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. In that light only, you have to regard him. Because it is you who have to progress in spiritual life. Four, speaking too lightly or contemptuously of the sacred scriptures. That means never consider any sacred scripture as ordinary book. Much less, never criticize the scripture. If you don't understand properly, ask somebody how to understand a statement in the scripture which appears to be puzzling you or appears to be wrong. But never criticize, because every scripture is the expression of a saint's realization. Fifth, considering the glory of the divine name mentioned in the scriptures as mere eulogy. When we read in the scriptures, many places it says, even if you take God's name once, koti koti janma ka paap nasht ho jaye. Don't think it is a big praise to inducing you to take God's name. This is absolute truth. never take the name of God lightly. Then, considering the divine name as imaginary. Don't think that you are endowing God with a divine name. No, God is His divine name, and you are asked to think of that name as God Himself, and that is the truth. So don't think I am creating God. In fact, God has created us. 7. Committing sins repeatedly and intentionally on the strength of the divine name. So there are many people in the name of God, in God's name, they do murder, and many religions do that. In the name of God, they cheat others. In the name of God, they spit on what they sell. In the name of God, they do so many unimaginable things. If anybody commits, he is not a true devotee of God, and we have to conscientiously, we have to avoid committing this set of sins. 8. Regarding the interpretation of the divine name as equal to other spiritual practices. Never consider repeating God's name as equivalent to any other spiritual practice. Meaning, repeating God's name is the highest and best form of spiritual practice. Its result is unimaginable and cannot be compared to any other spiritual practice. 9. Imparting God's name to unworthy persons. Never give God's name to persons who are worldly, who look upon it as merely a sound, a word, and do not respect God. When you come across such people, quietly withdraw, saluting them that God is inside them, but never give it to unworthy people, those who do not know God's name. And lastly, wanting taste for the chanting or hearing of the divine name, even after listening to its excellences. What it means is that if we do not feel happy, joyous, after listening God's name, while we are repeating or listening to other people, then there is something seriously wrong with us. We have to pray earnestly to God, "Oh Lord, I am not able to take delight in your name. Out of your boundless grace, please bestow this joy." Because once we get joy, there is no other need for doing anything. But that joy itself will take us to God Himself. These are called 10 aparadhas, 10 faults while taking God's name. We should be aware of these 10 faults and take care not to commit them. And I can tell you, if we can take God's name in the right spirit, avoiding all these 10 sins that we are likely to commit, then God's name will fast take us towards God and we will become blessed. One important point I want to point out. So even while practicing spiritual discipline in the form of taking God's name, we can get so much joy that you forget about why I am not progressing. Simply go on depending upon God like a child and take great delight in God's name and go on doing japam. And Holy Mother assures us, Holy Mother means Sharda Devi, that japa siddhi, through japa you don't need anything else, that itself will correct you and guide you and see that your obstacles are removed, and it will take us to God in the quickest possible way. These are just a fraction of the merits of God's name, and some of these points we will discuss in our future classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohur.